Well, it is good to be here. And I thought, you know what, just to open up with a bit of scripture would be fantastic. I forgot to do this earlier, but that was all right. We need some scripture in our lives. Here's what it says from Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name and make his praise glorious. Amen? And that's what we are here today, is make his praise glorious. Well, one of my favorite songs while growing up was a little song called With Jesus in the Boat, You Can Smile at the Storm. And it went something like this, and it had some actions. Anybody who knows it, you can sing it with me. It's with Jesus in the boat, you can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Jesus in the boat, you can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Anybody remember that as a child growing up? It was one of my favorite songs, and it was one of my favorite songs to teach because the thing lasted like a whole half hour, and it was awesome, and it kept kids just going, and you would eliminate saying certain words, and you just do the action. It was a lot of fun. But in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 27, it says this in the Passion Translation. It says, they all got into a boat and began to cross over to the other side of the lake. And Jesus, exhausted, fell asleep. Suddenly, a violent storm developed, and with waves so high, the boat was about to be swamped. Yet Jesus continued to sleep soundly. The disciples woke him up, saying, save us, Lord, we're going to die. But Jesus reprimanded them, why are you gripped with fear? Where is your faith? Then he stood up and rebuked the storm and said, be still. And instantly it became perfectly calm. The disciples were astonished by this miracle and said to one another, who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey his word. We all have suddenlies in our life, do we not? Suddenly our phone dies. Suddenly we run out of gas. Suddenly while we're barbecuing, our propane runs out. Suddenly we're late for school or work or an appointment. Suddenly you remember when you arrive at your destination on a big trip, you suddenly remember the important things you forgot at home. And suddenly the power goes out, and suddenly you have things that go wrong in your life. Maybe on your way to the beach today, you had a suddenly. The disciples were out in a boat in the middle of a lake when suddenly a storm broke out. It was not uncommon for this particular body of water to have suddenly storms break out. And this particular body of water, if you were to look at it in the Bible, it goes by a few different names. First century followers of Jesus, Matthew and Mark, refer to it as the Sea of Galilee. John called it the Sea of Tiberias. And Luke calls it the Lake of Gennesaret. Though it was referred to as a sea, it's actually a freshwater lake in northern Palestine. And I've even swam in that lake, and it was quite the experience because there was a whole bunch of fish flapping around us in the lake, and it was a lot of fun. But at its widest points, it is approximately 21 kilometers long, running north and south, and 13 kilometers wide, running east and west. Large towns would populate the shorelines because fishing was the main industry on this lake. Now, because the lake sits 680 feet below sea level, it's warm in climate. It's surrounded by steep, fast-rising hills and funnel-like mountains. So when cold fronts move in with their fierce winds funneling through the gorges, mixing with the warm temperature of the lake, it had the recipe of unpredictable weather. Even the most seasoned fishermen sailing on this lake were terrified when storms suddenly formed. And this storm was just that. It was a suddenly. Nothing could ever prepare them for such a storm. They were frightened and they were terrified. Anything they did or tried seemed to be futile. After they tried everything else, suddenly they cried out to Jesus. And are we so different than them? Isn't there times when a suddenly will hit us, a crisis, a storm of life, and we try to face it on our own strength? We try to solve it because we're mature saints and we should be able to do this on our own. And so we try and pour all of our strength and our energy into it, suddenly realizing that this thing is much bigger than us and much too big for us to handle. Then fear and helplessness and hopelessness settle in. And finally, we cry out to Jesus for help. It's like, I've tried everything else and all I can do is pray. Maybe the best thing we should have done in the first place was pray. Though Jesus was present with them in the boat, it felt like he was a million miles away. As if he was out of reach, unaware of their desperate need, and was unconscious to their needs. And ever been there going through something big and feeling like God is unaware or out of reach? Maybe you felt that God just doesn't seem to care, or he's unconcerned about your need. Or maybe you feel undeserving for his help and shame seems to silence your cry up to him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, it says this, "Yet we don't see ourselves as capable enough to do anything in our own strength, for our true competence flows from God's empowering presence." A crisis, difficult situations, suddenly, if you will, causes us to stop dead in our tracks. At first, we may have the fight or flight mentality, but there's only one thing that will do when the battle is bigger than you. Run into the arms of Jesus. Carrie Underwood sang a song years ago called "Jesus Take the Wheel," and these are the lyrics. "Jesus, take the wheel, take it from my hands, because I can't do this on my own. I'm letting go, so give me one more chance. Save me from this road I'm on. Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel of my life. Be my captain. Navigate my course through these stormy seas." Jesus is not sleeping, nor is he absent, but he's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for you and I to come and run into his arms for help. It's not a control thing. He doesn't get any pleasure from watching us suffer. In fact, he suffers with us because he's in the boat. He's in the boat. He's waiting for us to call upon him and say, "Jesus, take the wheel. Take control. Save me." In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Pour out all your worries and stress upon him and leave them there, for he always tenderly cares for you." It is in those desperate moments of our lives that we can become, or that can become, the most intimate moments with Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're a new Christian to the faith or you've been a Christian for a long time. One thing is for sure, our faith is constantly being tested. It's being tested. But to be honest, that's not the only way that our faith will grow. See, this in 11:1 says this, "Now faith brings our hope into reality and becomes our foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen." Meaning this, faith is believing and completely trusting God, even when it seems impossible. Trusting that God will work in all things, all situations, all circumstances, all relationships and impossibilities. He will work in all things, regardless of how it turns out. He will work. That's what faith is. Trusting him that he is working in all things. Sometimes they work out the way we want them to, but all the time it works out according to his plan. And he wants to invite us to be a part of that plan. There are things that happen to us in this lifetime that we just can't, maybe we just don't have an answer on this side of heaven. But one day when we get to heaven, it'll be all made clear. It'll be all made clear. It is because of our faith in Jesus Christ that when the storms of life come our way, especially the epic boat-crushing ones, we can rest assured that God will carry us through. We might get a little wet, or we might get a lot wet. We may get tossed and beat up a little bit. Maybe get a little bit worn down, but we won't get destroyed, because Jesus has the power to silence the storm. With Jesus in the boat, I can smile at the storm. Just because I've got Jesus doesn't mean I won't face any storms. It means I don't have to face them alone. And I don't have to fear them either. When a storm of life comes my way, fear is present. Fear breeds unbelief. Fear, partnered with doubt, tries to convey that Jesus just isn't enough. That he's not strong enough, he doesn't care enough, and he doesn't love us enough to carry us through it. But listen, not all fear is bad. Fear can cause us to respond with more energy and strength, intelligence and wisdom, well beyond ourselves. Fear can do three things. Fear can make us face the reality about ourselves, what we really are, who we really are, and why we're here. Fear can make us face our desperate need, that we're not perfect nor completely self-sufficient, self-contained, or adequate for all things. And number three, fear can make us face our need for help that is beyond ourselves. In this case, fear caused the disciples to turn to Jesus. So now Jesus takes charge. First, he responds to their lack of faith, meaning, why were you scared? Why didn't you come to me sooner? I was here with you the entire time. But now that you finally come to me, let's do something about this situation. And it's like he's saying, watch this. He gets up from the boat, stands up right at the front, speaks to the wind and the waves, and he says, be still. See, I don't think he had to yell it over the wind and waves. In fact, when God speaks, it's more like a whisper. And I can just imagine he gets up and calmly speaks to the waves and says, be still. How many know that a person of authority, when they speak, they don't have to raise their voice to get people to listen? When a person of authority opens their mouth, everything quietens to listen. And I believe that that's what happened with Jesus that night that he was on the boat with them. He got up and opened his mouth, and nature obeyed him. Nature obeyed him. Every moment Jesus spent with the disciples was a teachable moment. He did not step in and take control, but allowed them to work things out first. Once we've totally submitted full control to him, then he steps in. Sometimes it takes us to the end of ourselves in order for us to be desperate enough to give full control to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30, it says, are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. That's Jesus speaking. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you will discover that I am gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me, for all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. The suddenlies in life are unavoidable. Bad things happen to good people all the time. But the good news is we don't have to go through them alone. There's comfort knowing that with Jesus in the boat, I can smile at the storm. Jesus isn't in some galaxy far, far away. He's standing right beside you, matching your pace step for step. Not even death itself can separate us from him, because he has already conquered death. Jesus said in John 11:25-27, I am the resurrection and I am life eternal. Anyone who clings to me in faith, even though he dies, will live forever. And the one who lives by believing in me will never die. And then he poses this question, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Today he's asking us, though this was written many generations ago, Jesus still asks us today, do you believe this? Today we celebrate as three people are making a big step in their Christian faith. They're making a public declaration that they believe this, that they believe that Jesus is who he says he was. They're believing that, and they're basing their on how they live their life from that for onwards for the rest of their life. They're basing their life on what they believe. And in front of all of you, they will identify with Jesus' death and his burial and his resurrection. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward decision you've made to follow Jesus for the rest of your life. And so that is what they're doing today. They've got Jesus in their boat, and so they're able to smile at any storm. And today we're going to see them make that public declaration in the waters of baptism today.